welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. What we've been talking about is the fact that, you know, hospital rooms, emergency rooms are filled all over this nation already. The winter has not even started yet. And 80% or more of those emergency rooms are filled with patients who have not been vaccinated. And so I was asking the question whether or not, you know, there should be sympathy for those people who have ignored the signs and jeopardized many other people. What do you say? Who do we have up next, Evan?
We've got Vicky from Burlington.
Hey, Vicky, how you doing? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, you know, I wanted to tell you guys, I just traveled internationally to a Caribbean island. I just got back a couple of weeks ago. And I won't say which island, but as you know, when you travel internationally, you have to have a negative COVID test before you leave the country and negative 3 days before you re-enter the United States. So, you know, first, talk about obnoxious Americans. I got to tell you, go to these Caribbean islands. Sometimes I'm embarrassed for people to know I'm American, but they're, you know, the same people. I can't say who they voted for, but they were obnoxious. Some talked about no vaccine, the Brandon vaccine. They were in the big swim up pool bar, you know, talking about the Brandon vaccine, America, freedom. And, you know, I just watched it, you know, the pool where they're in it from 11 until dinner time and no one ever gets out to go to the washroom. So we observed this for 8 days. And I'll tell you what, leaving the resort, there was this big section of people, probably 25 people, six I recognized from the plane we flew in together, who had a positive COVID test and were required to stay there for another 14 days at their own expense. Did I have any sympathy? Absolutely not. It made leaving that paradise almost a good thing. I was depressed about having to leave, and seeing that made me so happy. So what goes around comes around, and that's why when these Republicans, oh, 2022, it's a slam dunk. 80% unvaccinated in these hospitals, they shouldn't be so confident. That's all I have to say.
Well, you said a lot. Thank you very much for the call, as always. Man, you just... Doesn't have to happen, but let me move on. I want to ask the listening audience, do you believe that the government should pay tuition for religious schools? Evan?
Ooh. Don't get me started, Earl. Don't get me started. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this lately. And when you bring that up, what comes to my mind, what sort of what I fold into it, is charter schools, voucher programs, where that are privately run institutions that are publicly funded. And yes, I have a problem with it.
So, but I'm asking about the religious ones. They have some that aren't religious.
Yeah.
But what? So right now, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing the case in Maine, and it's going to be whether or not the sectarian schools should receive, you know, financial support from the taxpayers.
Like significant public funding. And I'm going to...
Yes.
No.
Just like in the public schools.
Yeah, yeah. Unless
they now include sectarian schools.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anybody out there who thinks that's a good idea? Phone line is open at 844-967-2789. You know, Evan, there was a time when that would have never even been thought about. But now it's made...
State. Yeah.
It's made it all the way to the Supreme Court. It's going to be heard. The United States Supreme Court will hear oral arguments. Actually, today they began hearing the oral arguments in a case that could see major changes in the nature of funding for schools that provide religious education across the country. in Carson versus Macon, the nine justices are being asked to decide whether the state of Maine's tuition assistance program violates the Constitution by excluding so-called sectarian schools from receiving funds.
And something I want to make clear is that it's I'm not just hating on religion here. While I think that there is an aspect of it that's kind of troubling to me, given, you know, the government sort of picking winners, as it were, as far as religious schools go, the issue is a little more nuanced to my mind. And it's that public schools are already criminally underfunded. So here we're talking about taking more resources away to private, for-profit, if I'm not mistaken, institutions. Even some of these private religious schools, I mean, they're for-profit organizations.
There's no question. The court has previously indicated a willingness to come down on the side of religious freedom, particularly in the case of schools. But a ruling against Maine would be seen by critics as a blow to the separation of church and state, as it could open the door to public funding for religious institutions. Now, who's always talking about the Constitution? We don't want anybody interpreting the Constitution. Leave it the way it is.
Yeah, the literal understanding.
I know.
Word for word, man.
So listen, man, if and then when you open that door, and clearly it is closer to being open now than ever, because it is being debated right now at the United States Supreme Court. You know what my fear is, Evan?
What's that?
The Republicans outnumber the Democrats on that court, right? 6-3.
Oh, on the actual court, yes.
Yes.
No, totally. Conservative okay. Theologic court, yes.
So then that will tell you that barring some kind of miracle, this is going to come to pass. This is going to come to pass. Are you in the audience? You know, I mean, is that all right with you? I can tell you that in my mind, it's not. You know, the fact that, well, you know, I want my child to be taught Christianity. Well, okay. Well, then, you know, do what they've done all the times before this even came to pass. Then send your child to, you know, a Catholic or Christian church and do what many people have done all the years prior. Pay for your child to go to those institutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, why should that change now? Why should that change now? And, you know, the frustrations that I think people should be having, and I don't think people should be silent on it.
Not at all.
You know, why are we silent on? We know all these years we've been taught the separation of church and state. All of us. And right before our eyes, that is changing.
Yeah, and picking that favorites is, because Christian faith is going to be given precedence here. You're not going to be seeing Muslim schools.
And Evan, and you got that right. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I don't want to hear people say, well, you know, it's a Christian nation.
Ooh,
that's not,
yes.
Because we hear enough of that. Because that's not what it's espousing itself to be.
That's the most dangerous statement I've ever heard. To hear you say it, like, and I've heard people say it, but
I know.
Yeah, you're 100% correct.
You know, if you want your child to go to a religious school, you know, there certainly nobody's going to raise any additional funds to support that new school,
yeah,
you know.
It gets taken from Madison West and Fort Atkinson High School.
Where we're now going to, the taxpayers are going to pay for religious schools. Nobody's going to raise any additional funds. You're going to take that away from the public schools, as Evan said before. And how is that all right? You know, for all of you Americans, red-blooded Americans who swear by the flag, this is as outlandish a thing, and they're not doing it in the dark. They're doing it in the light of day. And I don't know about people anymore. They don't want to discuss certain things. And so things happen and things continue to happen in this country because we aren't willing to talk about what we know is wrong. This is wrong. Who do we have on the line, man?
We got CJ from Madison. We got about 2 minutes, CJ. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hey there. Good to talk to you, Earl. I guess my question, why is it fought if somebody decides to take their child to a parochial school, why shouldn't they be able to take that funding with them? And that's one
question. There's a separation of church and state. That's the reason that they can't do it. That's in the Constitution.
And that's a possible answer.
No, what do you mean? That's the answer.
Expanding the voucher program.
You said what?
People are look at I think there's a lot of thirst for the voucher program.
There is this steam is sort of picking up, and I fear it's because public institutions are
so hold on. So let me tell you, man, because I know where the voucher program started. It started in Milwaukee. I know who created it, and I know how it evolved to where it is now. A woman named Annette Polly Williams and Larry Harwell created the voucher program in the city of Milwaukee. Are you aware of that? And do you know?
Started there. I don't know. I didn't know.
I know. Exactly. I'm telling you, it didn't just start. Okay. Not just that it started here. This is the origin. The city of Milwaukee is the origin of the voucher program that spread all over this country. So, I know the people who created it, and I know the reason they created it. So, when you talk about the thirst for the voucher program, you need to know the origin of it. And why and the reason it was moved forward. Hang on, man. Hang on. I gotta go to a break. You said what?
We can head to break real quick. He'll hang around.
DJ, hang on. We'll be right back.